Reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, starting to read at verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello and good evening. My name is Adam Kettis, and I'm one of the associate ministers here at St. Mary's. And is it a joy? It is a joy to be of you all here. Oh, dearie me, it's going well. It is a joy to be of you all this evening. Please do keep Philippians open in front of you, or find it if you've dropped your Bible. And as we turn to God's word, let us come in humility and in prayer. Dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, we thank you, Father, that you do not leave us stumbling in the dark, but your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we ask, Father God, as we turn to it now, may this light lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Everyone wants to feel confident. That's why I think we often dress the same as the people around us, whether we be at school or university or work or home. We end up wearing the exact same clothes of everyone else because we just want to fit in. Everyone wants to be confident. That's why when an exam is coming up, we revise for it. Or we work hard on making our CV look particularly good so that when we apply for a new job, we might actually get it. Christians, we want to be confident. That's why we might read up on answers to difficult questions so that when friends or colleagues or neighbours or family members throw them at us, we're ready with something to say. Vicars, we want to be confident as well. That's why we work hard on our sermons, so we've actually got something to say when we get up here on a Sunday night. It's very natural, that desire, to be confident, to feel confident. And so it feels very natural, that desire, to feel confident when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Like, what gives us confidence to stand in his presence? We learn today in the book of Philippians, and it's all, this section today is all about our confidence. The Philippian church, we've seen from Acts, where you would have seen that Lydia was baptized, and she was a Gentile, and a prison guard was baptized, and he was a Gentile. And so there's this sense that some Gentile believers, a big part of this early church, And so they might have had this question in their minds, well, what's going to give me confidence? And then last week we were seeing how, when Nick was preaching to us, how actually we needed to work on our salvation and we need to make it shine brightly like a star. And actually this Philippian church, they need to work on their salvation and make it shine brightly like a star. And as we land here in chapter 3, the angle slightly turns from last week, and instead we're given a warning. We're given a warning. Paul is deeply concerned for this early church. He cares for their safety. And so he gives them a warning in verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Paul is concerned for this early church that actually one of Paul's sort of great foes is going to infiltrate them or has already infiltrated them and is starting to lead them off course. He's concerned that actually there are going to be people who are going to come and try and rob them of their confidence. People are going to come and say, actually you have Jesus, but you need something else. You need something more. He's worried that they're actually going to be mutilators of the flesh. And that idea of a mutilator of the flesh is going to come in amongst them is someone who's going to come and tell them, you need to be like your Jewish brothers and sisters. You need to be like your Jewish brothers and sisters who trust Jesus Christ, who follow the law to such an extent that they circumcise their baby boys. That's how much you need to be like them. And he's telling, and Paul is warning them, watch out for those dogs. They're going to come in here and they're going to try and rob you of your confidence. And yet Paul wants them to know that that is just ridiculous. That he, Paul, and the apostles who have been preaching to them, have brought the gospel to them. Actually, they're the real deal. And you don't actually need to worry about these ones who want to come and rob you of your confidence. A few months ago, I was nearly scammed. It was the first time it ever really properly happened to me. I was called up by someone who said that they were Amazon. And they said, someone is trying to hack your account right now. And they've put very expensive things into your basket on Amazon. And so on my phone, I checked my Amazon account, and it was true. There were loads of expensive things in my basket on Amazon. And the person at the end of the phone said to me, she was like, you need to act on this right now, or this person who's hacked your account is gonna just get away with all of this. And she was like, what you need to do right now, and time's ticking, you need to download this app. Just go onto the Google Store and you download this app. So I went on the Google Store, I saw what the app was, and I actually did click to download it. And it was downloading. As it was downloading, I then Googled what the app actually did. And the app would allow a third party to take control of my phone. And at this moment, I was like, these people who are saying that I'm going to be scammed are actually the ones scamming me. I couldn't believe it that I'd even started to download this thing. So I put down the phone, and then they called me again like 10 times. They clearly thought I was an easy target. We need to watch out. We need to watch out. And actually, this early church needs to watch out. There are people who want to rob them of their confidence. And then the second point from in the second paragraph, halfway through verse 4, is actually Paul has got every good reason for this sort of self-based confidence. Paul's got every good reason for this sort of self-based confidence, which these mutilators of the flesh, these dogs, are pushing for. And let's look at that self-based confidence in that second paragraph. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. So Paul sort of lists for why actually if he was to play their game, that actually he would win their game. It's an impressive list. Actually, he was circumcised on the eighth day. That means he was from the right family who were playing by the rules. Actually, he was from the tribe of Benjamin, which was one of the two tribes which didn't abandon Jerusalem when the kingdom split. Actually, he's so keen that he's a Pharisee. He's holding the law to its highest degree. Actually, he's so zealous, he's actually persecuting the church. And actually, if you were to look at him, you'd be like, wow, this man is faultless. If you were to receive the CV of the Apostle Paul, we would look at this CV and we would say, this man is a big cheese. He's a big cheese. This is so impressive. He is so impressive. Paul, if he was playing their game, he would win. Because he's got lots of reasons for this self-based confidence. And yet, he chooses Christ-based confidence. And we see that from verses 7 to verse 11. Paul chooses Christ-based confidence. Let's listen to his logic, verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. What does Paul think of his great CV? What does he think of it? Well, he says three times that he considers it loss. He just wants to lose it. And that word loss, it has a sense of a bit of cargo on a ship. A bit of cargo that is on a ship in the middle of the ocean, and the cargo falls off the ship, and it just floats down, drops to the bottom of the ocean, and it is lost. When Paul thinks about his CV and how impressive it is, he's like, no, it's lost. It's nothing compared to a Christ-based confidence. And what does he say about it in verse 8? I consider them garbage. All those reasons he had for self-based confidence, he just considers them garbage. And that word for garbage is actually, it's a word for rubbish, but it's also the word for dung. And what do you do with dung? What do you do with dung? You wipe it away. You wipe the dung away. Paul's CV, rubbish. Circumcised on the eighth day, rubbish. Of the people of Israel, rubbish. Born of the tribe of Benjamin, rubbish. A Hebrew of Hebrews, rubbish. A Pharisee, rubbish. So much zeal that he would persecute the church, rubbish. Faultless. Just focus on that. Faultless before the law. Rubbish. Rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Compared to having that Christ-based confidence, compared to gaining Christ, all of that is rubbish. And why is it dung in comparison to gaining Christ? Well, we're given three reasons from verse 9 onwards. We're given the three reasons that it's rubbish. Firstly, because if you have Christ-based confidence, you're found in him. Secondly, because of a righteousness that comes through faith. And thirdly, because you get to join Jesus Christ in his resurrection. So let's dig into each of those three reasons. Why is a Christ-based confidence better? Why is gaining Christ better? Because it means you're found in Christ. That language of found in Christ is a language of union with Christ. And the union language is all over the New Testament. To be united with Christ is the same way that a branch is united to a vine. It's the same way that a body is united to a head. It's the same way that a husband is united to his wife. That is the strength of that language. If you are found in Christ, then you are united with Christ. Those who believe in Christ are found in Christ. Those who believe in Christ are found in Christ. And this then leads onto that second reason for why a Christ-based confidence is just so much better. It leads onto that second reason because actually if you have a Christ-based confidence, then you have a righteousness that comes through faith. Righteousness takes it into the language of the law courts. You've gone into the court, you're going to discover if you're in the right or in the wrong, and you discover you're in the right. You are declared by the judge that you are in the right. And Jesus Christ, when he stands in the law courts, he is declared to be in the right because he has a pure, blameless, radiant, glorious, good life. Such a pure, blameless, radiant, glorious, good life that the declaration from the judge over him is that he is righteous. And if that is a declaration from the judge over him, then those who are found in him share that righteousness. That means when you have this righteousness, that as Jesus is able to walk into his Father's presence, we who are found in Christ can walk in as well. That means that as Christ is able to sit at his Father's side because he is the apple of his Father's eye, those who are found in Christ may sit there as well. This righteousness means that as Jesus has a room in his Father's house because he is the delight of his Father's heart, those who are found in Christ have a room as well. That is what is so much better, to gain Christ and to have this Christ-based righteousness. And then the third reason we're given for why it is better to have Christ is verse 10 to 11. And that is because you join Christ in his resurrection. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Those who are found in Christ share in Christ's death, and thus they will share in his resurrection. And this God who we love and who we worship and who we adore, because we were sharing this Christ-based resurrection, we will one day see face to face in the world that is to come. That is why it's better. It's so much better to have a Christ-based confidence. So what is the Lord God saying to us here in Maidenhead, thousands of years after this letter was written to this early church in Philippi? He's saying to us, you don't need a self-based confidence, you need a Christ-based confidence. You don't need a self-based confidence, you need a Christ-based confidence. You know, it's funny, it's interesting that often we think that the thing which is holding us back from the Lord God is our sin. And that's true. We need to repent for that sin. Well, actually, this passage is telling us today that it's not just our sin that is holding us back from the Lord God. It is also our righteousness. It is also our self-confidence. Because actually, those Pharisees, which Paul was once in that number, they knew that sin was serious. They cared about it so deeply that they were willing to work so hard. They knew that sin was serious. What their problem was their righteousness. Their problem was their self-confidence. That was the thing which was holding them back from the Lord. They knew sin was serious. They didn't realize how to properly deal with it. They didn't realize they also needed to repent of their righteousness, of their self-confidence. I was speaking at a church down in Exeter on Monday evening, and so on Tuesday morning I was getting the train back up here to Maidenhead. And as I was getting the train back up here, there was a lady sat opposite me, and she was very talkative. And so we were just chatting away. And when you're a vicar, it's quite easy to talk about Christian things and to share the gospel. So we're chatting about the gospel. And I was asking her why she didn't go to church. She said she was a spiritual person, she was an atheist, and I was like, why didn't you go to church? And she said to me, she's like, well, I do lots of volunteering, and I help out in all these different causes, and actually, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy to go to church. And she didn't realize that actually she needs to repent of her self-confidence, because she thinks that busyness is actually going to enable her to stand before her Father in heaven and to be declared righteous. She needs to repent of that self-confidence, because if our busyness, if our good deeds, if our volunteering work, which is wonderful, amen, let's do it, if that gives us this impression that we're good without God, that we're good enough without God, then actually we're putting so much store in it rather than in his word and in the truth of what he has to say. And we're actually putting ourselves above him and what he has to say. Actually, she too, she needs to repent of that self-based confidence. But for us who have been part of the church for a long time, actually our self-based confidence, it can start to trickle in ways we might not expect. And actually, I think sometimes it's in a moment of crisis where we can suddenly become aware that we might have some self-based confidence. I've been a Christian for many years when, in my early 20s, I had a crisis of faith. A crisis of faith. And the crisis of faith came because I was just doing and saying stupid things. Because I was in this situation where I was just really angry at God, and I was in this situation where I just didn't trust God, and I was in this situation where I was just acting in ways which were just so against what his word said. And as I had all my emotional sort of baggage, and as I was doing things which went against God's word, I was just completely like stuck. I was completely stuck in this moment in my early 20s. Because I just felt like I can't talk to God about any of this. I can't talk to him about emotionally what I'm feeling right now. I can't talk to him about the fact that like I'm just breaking his word and breaking his commandments. I can't talk to him. I feel like I should know better. I've been a Christian for so long. And actually he just doesn't want to hear from me. And I can't repent for this because actually I've repented for it before. And actually I just felt like I couldn't even go to him in prayer and talk to him about this. And I felt so just confident that he just wouldn't want to hear from me. And what's interesting now, as I look back upon that crisis, upon all the emotions that was going on in my head, and that feeling that that strong sense I had that I couldn't go to him in prayer, and I realize now as I look back that actually that was just another form of self-confidence. Because when we ever think it's actually got something to do with our emotional state, or our ability to talk to the Lord God has something to do with the fact that actually we're living wonderfully and gloriously for him, if we ever think that it's to do with our emotional state or our ability to follow his laws, then actually that's not the reason for our confidence. If that's the reason why I thought I could actually go to him and speak to him in prayer, then I've lost the plot. That's not the reason we can go to him and speak to him in prayer. That's not the reason we can come to him and be honest about our emotions. It's not what we do. Yes, we want to fight sin, and yes, we want to follow his commands, of course, but they're not the basis for our confidence. There is an old hymn which puts this very beautifully. Lay your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him and him alone, gloriously complete. It's so beautiful. Let me say that again. Lay your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him and him alone, gloriously complete. So as we meditate on these words in Philippians, well, what's the application? What should we be going home, walking home from this place, thinking and doing? Well, on one level, this passage is encouraging us to rejoice. Rejoice in what you have. Rejoice you're found in Christ. But it is also a warning. Watch out for those dogs. Watch out for those dogs. Watch out for people who are going to rob you of your confidence, who are trying to rob you of your confidence. You know, on Christmas Day this year, as I was leaving after our second service to drive home, as I was leaving and walking out down the drive, I saw a little stand, a little bookshop right at the end of the drive. And on this little bookshop, there was a big JW sign. And there are two people who clearly, well, in fact, they just parked in front of a church and there's no other shop open. There's clearly people there, these Jehovah's Witnesses, who want me to engage with them. The reality is Jehovah's Witnesses are trying to rob me, rob us of our confidence. They're saying, yes, you can believe in Jesus, but there's something more. Or you might go online and you might be on YouTube and actually you're watching some sort of Christian content, and then suddenly an advert pops up. An advert saying, if you really understand the Bible, then you can study it with one of our Mormon elders. These Mormon elders, they want to rob you of your confidence. Or someone might come to you and actually say, if you want to take faith seriously, if you want a serious faith, then actually there's a faith out there which will get you to pray 5 times a day and will give you strict instructions and tell you when to fast. And actually that's a more serious version of faith than this woolly-washy sort of Christianity. Actually, when people are trying to convert you to Islam, they're trying to rob you of your confidence. Actually, there are people who will have the title of being a Christian believer. In many ways, I probably believe they are Christian believers. And yet they will go to you and say, oh, well, you go to a church like St. Mary's, wonderful. But have you had a second blessing from the Spirit? Because once you've got a second blessing from the Spirit, once you've received all these gifts from the Spirit, then you can have assurance that you're really saved. Actually, if someone wants to try and give you a second blessing from the Spirit, they're trying to rob you of your confidence. Or if someone says to you, actually, what you really need to do to take your faith further is to pray the rosary and go to a priest and confess your sins, they're trying to rob you of your confidence. Or if someone says to you, oh, wonderful that you're a Christian, but did you know that the oldest liturgy that has ever existed in the church is found in the Orthodox Church? And actually the Orthodox liturgy, it acts as like a gateway into heaven itself, and that's the way for real spiritual growth. That person is trying to rob you of your confidence. But as there are external voices which are trying to rob us of our confidence, there's also internal voices which are trying to rob us of our confidence. We live in a cultural sort of moment which loves self-confidence. It tells you to be true to yourself, to follow your dreams. If you want it, take it. If you believe it, just speak it. Do it. Act it. And in our cultural sort of moment of self-confidence, it's telling you, if you think something about yourself, if you think the way I am, the way I'm living, how I'm doing is fine with me, so it'll be fine with the Lord God. Well, actually, that sort of voice, or that internal sort of voice which our culture just loves at this moment of self-confidence, that's trying to rob you of your confidence because it's taking you away from Jesus. No. What does Paul think of his mighty CV? And what should we think of our mighty CV? Rubbish. I'm so busy. I've got doing all this volunteering. I can't possibly go to church. I'm helping too many people. Rubbish. I'm winning at life, and I'm winning in my Christian journey, and I'm beating all my old sins, and I'm just like just doing so well, and I'm so confident because I'm winning this spiritual sort of battle. No, that's a wonderful thing, but that isn't your confidence. That's rubbish. We live in a sort of cultural sort of moment which says just be true to yourself. So if you're okay with it, then God's going to be okay with it. Rubbish. All of that is rubbish. And what about you? What do we write on the rest of this loo roll? What about you? What might be that thing which you're building your confidence upon? Because Paul, he had an impressive CV. It was really impressive. It was so impressive that he could use the word faultless. And yet it is rubbish. Whatever you are building your confidence on outside of Christ, can I encourage you to consider it loss compared to knowing him and gaining him? What is the Lord God asking of us today? What is the Lord God asking of us today here in Maidenhead? You don't need self-confidence. You need Christ's confidence. Those who are found in Christ are righteous before their Father. Those who are found in Christ will join him in that resurrection splendor. Let's just meditate for a moment on God's word, and then I'll close in prayer. Dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, Father God, we repent of those times when we trust in our own righteousness and we think that because of the things we have done that we have confidence before you. Help us, Father God, instead to know that when we believe in Christ, we are found in Christ. And it is in this privileged position that we have the very righteousness of Christ. Help us, Father God, to build a life based on this righteousness. We ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.